Welcome to Different Ways Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Mr. Matthew Pollard. Matthew, why don't you take it from here?
Thanks very much. Well, I think the best way to live up to that introduction is really to start by telling you about Wendy. Now, Wendy was a language coach out of California, and she taught kids and adults Mandarin. And when she first came to me, she had a real issue. And the issue was that she'd been in business for, many, many years. And she'd been comfortably charging $50 to $80 an hour for private consultation. And then all of a sudden, there were all these other people that were moving into California, and they were willing to, because they were starting their own Mandarin businesses, they were willing to charge $30 to $40 an hour for private consultation. And I think this happens a lot when we're in a marketplace, whether we're trying to first start our business, we're kind of willing to cut our prices to the bone just to get our first customers, our first success stories. And, you know, then the problem was there were so many people moving and doing this. Wendy struggled to keep current clients, she struggled to get new clients. Not only that, she had to deal with the fact that there were people now from China on Craigslist willing to offer to do the exact same thing for $10 to $15 an hour. So she was struggling to get new clients, she was struggling to keep her current clients, and then thanks to our friends in Silicon Valley, she also had to deal with the fact that these days there's also technology out there that allowed people, I'll teach you Mandarin, you teach me English, we'll both do it for free. This was horrific for Wendy. And, you know, her business was really starting to fall apart. And she came to me and she said, Matt, how do I compete in this crowded marketplace? And what I responded with was, Wendy, what I would prefer to do is help you avoid the battle altogether. So what we did is we looked at all the clients that Wendy had. And what we discovered was that were two specific people, just two. These were executives being relocated to China that she helped with so much more than just private language tuition. She helped them understand these three primary concepts. The first one was this concept called galaxy. Now, for us, if we're going to, you know, we talk about the term galaxy, we imagine that we're talking about outer space. But in China, this is their word for rapport. So what you might expect is that when when we sit down and we have a sales meeting with anybody in America, we might sit down for 45 minutes, maybe an hour, and at the end of that, if we're really bad salespeople, we might say something like, well, do you want to move forward? And they would say yes, no, or everybody's favorite, let me think about it. Now, if we heard let me think about it, we might think about calling back a week from now and saying, so did you decide to move forward? And if we still get the let me think about it, well, at that time, we know that the chances of getting that sale, well, they're going down and down. So the thing that's different in China is they're not talking, they won't talk to you just once. They want to meet with you maybe five or six times before they even discuss business. They probably want to see you drunk over karaoke once or twice. Now, the reason for this is not because they're, you know, trying to be more difficult. It's just they're not talking about the transactional 12 and 24 month deals that we do in America and Australia and other places in the Western world. They're talking about 50 to 100 year contracts. This is longer than a lot of people's careers. And because of that, it's much more important that the terms, the people they're doing business with are the right type of people rather than just the terms of the contract. They'll get to that, but that's the second most important thing. So when do you help them understand that? The second thing she helped them understand is the importance of the difference between e-commerce in China and e-commerce in the Western world, and then the importance of respect. See, if we go to a networking event in America, somebody will hand us a business card, we'll throw it in our pocket, and we'll just keep on talking. In China, you're supposed to hold the card, cherish the card, look at all the detail on the front, look at all the detail on the back, bow slightly, put it in the card case, and then continue the conversation. You know, I just got back about a year ago from speaking for Electrolux in front of 100 vice presidents of different departments. And you would imagine that a group like that, I mean, they have, each one of them control thousands of staff. Yet when I gave them my business card, they did exactly that. It's so much about respect. It's the same as when you go to China, learning the language isn't enough. They don't expect you to sound exactly like them, but they do expect you to try to reduce your accent. So Wendy helped them understand the importance of respect. And I said, Wendy, you're doing so much more for these people than just private language tuition. What are you doing? And she said, Matt, what are you talking about? I'm just trying to help. And I said, you're stuck in your functional skill, Wendy. Is it fair to assume as a result of the help that you're giving these people, that these people will be more successful in China? And she looked at me, she's like, well, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm trying to achieve. I mean, that's the end goal. And I said, great. So why don't we call you the China Success Coach? Let's forget about the Mandarin coaching that everybody's doing for $10 for the hour or free even. And let's just focus on this straight China Success Coaching. What we did is we called her the China Success Coach. We created the China Success Intensive. And I said to her, so let's go out and let's sell this to the customers. And she said, well, who are my customers, Matt? And I said, well, think about it. Who do you think they would be? And she said, well, obviously the executive would be a person that, you know, would be willing to buy this. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, you're right. The executive terrified to move to China. I mean, I know I moved from Australia to the United States and I was terrified, and people here speak the same language. I said, so yes, they would be terrified, but that's not your ideal client. She said, well, obviously the company would pay. And I said, well, yeah, the company generally has, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars riding on this executive being successful when they get there, but still not your ideal client. Frustrated, she looks at me and says, well, who then, Matt? And I said, your ideal client is your immigration attorney. She looked at me puzzled and I said, you think about it. These immigration attorneys charge between $5,000 and $7,000 for any successful visa application. Now, that's not profit, though. For that, they've got to do all the paperwork, all the bureaucracy, and they've got to find the client. They'd be lucky to make $3,000 on any successful visa application. I said, why don't you go to them and offer them $3,000 for any successful introduction to the China Success Coach? She started approaching immigration attorneys, and they thought this was amazing. They were like, $3,000, that basically doubles my profit within, you know, for every customer that I work with that's moving to China. And they said, well, what would I have to say? And she said, simple. All you've got to say is, congratulations, you've now got your visa. I just want to double check you're as ready as you possibly can be relocated across to China. And they would say, yeah, you know, we've got our visa organized. We've got our place sorted. We're learning the language. The kids are getting pretty good at it too. I think we're set. And they would simply respond, there's a lot more to it than that. I think you need to speak to the China Success Coach. Wendy would then get on the phone with the easiest client in the world. I mean, these people were terrified to go. The corporations were motivated to pay. And she got to charge $30,000 for this program, minus the fee that she paid to the referring partner, the immigration attorney. She made $27,000 instead of struggling every day to charge $50 to $80 an hour for private language tuition and having the easiest sale in the world. That's rapid growth, and that's the power of a differentiated and unified message. See, if I had helped Wendy by just starting with sales and teaching her how to apply the best sales strategies to what she was doing, she would have still struggled every single day to get clients to want to talk to her, to want to buy. Sure, I could have made her better and better at what she did. The problem is that she was going in with the wrong message, and it's not like she had to change who she was. These were things she was doing anyway. She just learned to articulate it differently. And because of that, she tapped into a whole marketplace where she could really cash in. What we need to be doing is understanding that we have to stop selling on features, prices, and discounts. People want to identify with a message, and for that, they'll pay a premium. So the question you've got to ask yourself is, what is yours? So what can you learn from this? What I want everybody that's listening today to do is to think, what are the unique benefits that you provide outside the scope of your functional skill? And then ask yourself what the higher level benefit of that is. For Wendy, it was Galaxy, it was e-commerce, and it was respect. And the higher level benefit was China Success. For me, I'm a branding expert. I'm a marketing specialist. I'm a sales trainer. I'm a social media strategist. I'm a master in neuro-linguistic programming. I'm a business coach. I'm too many things, and nobody cares. But when I tell people I'm the rapid growth guy, I help organizations large and small obtain rapid growth. The simplicity of that message gets me heard in a crowded marketplace. Okay, so let's talk about niche marketing. Whenever I talk about niche marketing, the first thing that I get asked is, if I niche down and I only speak to a smaller group of people, aren't I missing out? Here's what I want people to know. If you're speaking to everybody, you're speaking to nobody. Plus, unless you've got the budget of Coca-Cola, it's ridiculously expensive. Quite a few years ago now, I made the decision that I was going to open up a business school, your equivalent of a college. The problem that I had is nobody trusts a new school. For me, I had two really bad options. I had the market of professionals. These were people that already had degrees, and they were going into they were going back to school because they wanted to get a promotion. Now, these people weren't going to study at a new school. I mean, you think about it. These people wanted to show their qualifications to somebody and say, here, I got this qualification. Please give me a promotion, or please, you know, take me in for this new job. They didn't want this new qualification that no one even recognized. So this was not a marketplace that I was going to be able to be rapidly successful in. The next marketplace was the market of high school graduates, people that didn't get the grades to go to the college of their choice. They'd come study with me for a short while, get the grades, and then move into the qualification that they wanted. That meant I would have to spend my life hustling to get clients and then hustling to keep them because they didn't want to study with me. I was just an intermediary step. These were two really bad options. And then I discovered the market of tradespeople. Now, for people that don't know the trade demographic that well, the builder, the plumber, the landscaper, the electrician, these are people that generally left school at the age of 16. Then they went and did an apprenticeship. Now, the apprenticeships have a wonderful way of teaching their new employees or the people doing apprenticeships. It's generally an education through sarcasm and aggression. After many years of this, they start to find themselves being the best person at the business. They look around and they realize that everyone around them isn't as well-trained as they are. They are the best, but hang on a second, they're getting paid the same as everybody else. And then they have the epiphany. That's it. They're going to go into business for themselves. So they do. They go out into business for themselves. They open up their business. They start to get clients. And now because of that, they need to hire staff. And their staff aren't performing the way they should be. Well, hang on a second. They know how to train staff. Sarcasm and aggression. That's how they learned, right? Not only that, their procedures, their systems are falling apart. They're losing clients. They've got wastage everywhere. They're struggling to make more money. They're struggling to make any money, let alone as much as even the one people that they're paying. And that really feeds this sarcasm and aggression. They know they need help, but they don't want to go to a training education facility. I mean, they have this view of training. You know, everyone's heard this. If you can't do, you teach. This is what they told themselves to feel better about the fact that school had let them down. They didn't want training. What they did want is business coaching. The problem was they couldn't afford business coaching. They were struggling to make any money at all. So we launched into the market with business coaching at a price you can afford. And we sold it specifically to the trade demographic, and we grew to 3,500 clients within the space of 3 years. Every single class was run like a mastermind. In the front, there wasn't a trainer. There was a business coach. And the business coach would run the class like a mastermind with 20 business owners. We grew rapidly. All because we started with a defined niche and we knew our customers better than they knew themselves. So what can you learn from this? Everybody is not your customer. What you need to be looking for is unmet needs in the marketplace that you can serve, that your unified message will speak to, and focus completely, wholly, and solely on that group. See, this is where people get it wrong. They start when they're brand new in business and they say, I can sell to everybody because I need any customer. So any customer will do. But here's the thing, you've got no testimonials, no past success, not enough experience, and you're now going with a broad message. You've got to start the other way. Start incredibly focused and then grow out. And that's what we did in our business school. We started with tradespeople on a building site, plumbers, electricians, tilers, and then grew out and said, well, hang on a second, hairdressers and florists are kind of tradespeople too, right? Then we were approached by a major medical association and the Law Institute of Victoria. And they said, well, doctors and lawyers are kind of tradespeople too, right? They've done 5 years of education, but they don't know how to run a business. And then we ended up teaching them too. 3,500 clients in the space of 3 years by starting with a defined niche as opposed to selling to everybody, which is selling to no one. That is the power of having a niche market, of willing to buy clients all to your own. Okay, so let's talk about sales systemization. Now, when I'm speaking in front of a group, I always put this slide up, but because we're doing this over audio, I will just read it to you. Everybody has a product to sell. Even if your company consists of just you and your computer, look around. If you don't see any salespeople, you're the salesperson, right? Now, when people first hear me speak, they think I'm one of those natural extroverts, those people that have the gift of the gab. And I'm forever telling people that's what introverts do. They project upon other people that the people that are successful, they must be extroverted people. But here's the thing. When I was in late high school, I had a reading speed of a sixth grader. I was horribly introverted, and I had no idea what to do with my life. Not only that, I had to contend with really, really bad acne. And I decided after finishing high school in the top 20% of my state that I was just exhausted. I needed a year to really go away and think about what I wanted to be doing. I knew that if I went to university without having an understanding of exactly what I wanted to do and why it was so important to me, I just wouldn't make it. So I took a year off and I found an administrative role at a real estate agency. Now, when I say real estate agency, most people think I was out the front selling. No, I was the guy in the back office doing data entry with this look on my face. Don't talk to me. I'm here to find myself for the year. Now, as it happened, that company didn't go so well. And about a few weeks after I'd started my job, just a few weeks, my boss comes up to me and goes, Matt, I've got some bad news. The company's shutting down this office and you're out of a job. It was just before Christmas. I just started. And in Australia, there were no other jobs to have. I mean, if you look at Australia, we have our summer and our Christmas all at the same time. So because of that, there just isn't there's just no work. Nobody's hiring. So I went looking for a job, and the only job that I could find was commission-only sales. This was terrifying to me, but I had no option. You know, I promised my father I was going to look after myself. So I did. I jumped in and I made the decision that I was going to do this job no matter what. Well, after 5 days of product training and not a second of sales training, I get thrown on this street. It's called Sydney Road. It's just thousands of retail stores, door after door. And I went to walk into the first one, and then I realized no one actually taught me how to sell. So I walked in and I tried my best and I got rejected. And then shortly after that, I got told to get a real job. And then I got sworn at. People can be lovely around Christmas time. Anyway, 92 doors of rejection. I walk into my 93rd door and I made a sale. I remember I was ecstatic. I made $70. And then I had this realization. No one had taught me how to sell. I made this realization. I've got to do this every day for the rest of the year. That was not okay. I had to find another way. But I had a reading speed of a sixth grader. I couldn't exactly pick up a Brian Tracy book or a Zig Ziglar and learn that. It would have taken me a year to read the book, let alone to apply the strategies. I had to find another way. And then I discovered YouTube. Surprising to me, there's a lot more there than just cat videos. I focused on the steps of the sale. I focused on every single element. Day after day, I'd spend 8 hours selling. And then 8 hours out there learning how to sell. What's the next step in the process? Day after day, I got better. Soon it was 48 doors, then 33 doors, then 28 doors, then 12, then 3. About 6 weeks later, my boss pulls me in. He had a puzzled look on his face. And he said, Matt, I'm blown away by this, but I just got the monthly sales reports. And you're the number one sales performer in the company, which just so happened to be the number one sales company in the Southern Hemisphere. It took me 6 weeks. About a year later, I made the decision that I was going to go out into business for myself. And I decided that I was going to open up a mobile phone store. The problem that I had, just like the marketplace in the United States, the market was saturated with people and selling telecommunications. And the only thing that they competed on was price. The problem is, as a business, though, because people were competing on price, all the service was getting offshored. And saving money on your phone is great, but when something goes wrong, if there's nothing, no one to support you, well, that's just not okay. So we launched into the marketplace with service you can count on. Didn't matter what company you went with, as long as you did it with us, we would service you, we would look after you. Within the space of 3 years, we became the number one brokership of cell phones in the country. In year three alone, we turned over $4.2 million. Again, that's rapid growth. In 2007, I won the Young Achiever Award. But more importantly than that, I went from scared to sell, really terrified actually, to teaching hundreds how to do it. Now, through my best-selling book, The Introvert's Edge, I know that I'm teaching thousands. Now, when I say this, a lot of people will say to me, Matt, I get it. You learned how to sell. But you learned how to sell on YouTube? Really? Well, here's where I like to talk about a person called Nate Boyer. Nate Boyer left the military. He was a former Green Beret. And when he did that, he made the decision he was going to go back to school, and he made the decision that he was going to try something new. Unlike everybody else, he wasn't really a big fan of football. But he decided that he was going to give it a shot, and he did what's called walking on the field, which I've been told is almost impossible to do that and make the team. Well, not only did Nate Boyer make the team, he got to play for the UT Longhorns. A few years later, he tried out and made the team and was signed for the Seattle Seahawks. At age 34, he was the oldest, he was 8 years older than the average NFL player, making him the oldest rookie in history. And when he was asked how he learned to snap a football, which was his natural ability, here's what he replied. I would literally watch YouTube videos and Google on how to snap a football. That was my game tape. Then I'd go out into the backyard and I'd emulate it. He learned how to snap a football by watching YouTube videos. The sales process, everything that we assume that we can't do, that's a natural ability, is 100% learnable. So I'm going to leave you with this last story. Quite a few years back, I got a phone call from a guy called Derek Lewis. And he said, Matt, I've got a real problem. No one can afford me. Derek was a ghostwriter. And I said, well, tell me why you've assumed that. He said, well, I charge $20,000 for my ghostwriting services. And people will send me inquiries and emails will go up and back for a little while. And then they'll ask me the question. Well, obviously, the question was, how much does it cost, right? He would then respond, and then crickets. He wouldn't hear from them ever again. I said, well, Derek, what did you do? He said, well, I put the price of what I did on my website. I got sick of people wasting my time. I said, well, how did that go? He said, well, now nobody calls me. I said, okay, Derek, here's what I want you to do. Firstly, I want you to understand you're a ghostwriter, right? He said, yeah. I said, well, what do you think your customers don't like doing? He went, oh, writing. I said, that's right. I said, you're communicating via email. These customers can't stand that. It doesn't matter what price tag you put on there. There's nothing that they're going to want to do less than work with somebody that won't pick up the phone and call them. Firstly, what I want you to do is I want you to take the price off your website. And then next time you get an inquiry, because now the inquiries will come back, say just this. Let's call the customer John. John, thank you so much for reaching out to me. I'm ecstatic to have the opportunity to chat with you. As a matter of fact, I checked out your website and I've worked with somebody very similar to you in the past and we had a great working relationship. But relationship really is the most important thing in any ghostwriter author experience. So because of that, what I would love to do is get on the phone with you and make sure that we're a match. Also, I would like to ask you a few questions about specifically what you're looking for so I can give you the most appropriate quote for your needs at the end of the call. Below is a link to my scheduling app. I look forward to speaking to you soon. Well, Derek got on the first 40-minute phone call. And with a few sales strategies at the end of that phone call, he closed his first deal that he charged $40,000 for. Within 6 weeks, he made $80,000. By the end of the year, he made $120,000. To put this in perspective, he made $27,000 in 2013 and $12,000 by October of 2014 when he reached out to me. Yet by the end of the year, he made $120,000. And by the end of the following year, he made just shy of $300,000. So what can we learn from this? The difference between sales success and sales failure can be one simple thing that you're not saying, that you're not seeing. So you have to learn the process. Rapid growth really comes down to three simple steps: differentiation and unified message, niche marketing, and sales systemization. They're all absolutely vital, but yet often totally forgotten. I always put this quote up at the end, and I'll read it to everybody, but the reason why I do this is everyone knows who Abraham Lincoln is. But Abraham Lincoln says, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'll spend the first four sharpening the saw." What most businesses do is akin to just keeping on chopping. It is time to sharpen the saw.